The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today is buying rental properties to provide income streams for him when he retires. Now, the interesting thing with his story is he got kind of a late start. He didn't start buying rental properties till he was in his 50s, and he just turned 60 right now. So he doesn't have a lot of time to make mistakes. He's really got to make sure he gets really good deals, and he's got to manage his properties right, and he's doing it. He's off to a really good start. On the show today, we're going to figure out exactly what he's doing. We'll go over one of his deals, take a look at his numbers, and we'll talk about how he's managing his properties. Joining us on the podcast today from East Liverpool, Ohio, is Chris DeSario. Let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chris. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Being a landlord just became a lot easier thanks to Tenant Cloud. They have everything you need to manage your rental properties all in one place, from taking online applications to creating custom leases specific to your state and collecting rent online. And this is really cool. They actually have local contractors in your area to help you when you have a repair call. That's right, contractors in your area that are there for you when you need them. Everything is right there, all in one place. How much does it cost? Well, this is crazy. It's totally free to sign up. It's not a trial. It's free forever. They do have some paid plans, but it's totally free to sign up and get started. Just go to tenantcloud.com. That's tenantcloud, C-L-O-U-D, tenantcloud.com. Chris, let's start off talking about where you are right now. Can you tell us about your portfolio?
Yeah, I presently own 7 single-family rentals. I just closed on my 7th one the last week of November going into December.
Congratulations.
They're all single family houses.
And what's the neighborhood like that they're in?
I would classify the neighborhood myself as probably a C+. Somebody coming from the outside might view them a little lower because they don't understand the demographics of the area.
Okay. And how long have you been buying rentals for?
6 years now.
Okay. And you got started pretty late in life, right?
I did. I just turned 60 the first of the year, and I always wanted to be into real estate. I went to a lot of seminars and listened to podcasts and read books, and I just always, you know, put it on the back burner. And finally, about 6 years ago, I told my wife, look, I'm going to go forward with this. You know, I want to build a portfolio that will support me through retirement and give me some, you know, passive income that I could rely on besides just Social Security.
Well, hey, at least you did it. I mean, it took you a while, but at least you took action, and I applaud you for that. How many years were you thinking about it from the time you maybe thought, hey, owning rentals would be cool, up until you actually bought your first property?
Well, I could honestly say 30 to 35 years.
Wow. Incredible. Wow. So what was it? What put you over the edge to think, okay, well, if I'm going to do it, I got to just do this?
I think it was an age thing. You know, you reflect as you get older and you realize, you know, you look going forward, you don't have as much time as you already have put in. And I thought, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to have to make a move here quickly.
Yeah. Do you regret waiting so long, or do you think you would have been successful with this 30 years ago?
I think I would have been successful with it 30 years ago. I do regret waiting so long. And I try to tell everyone I talk to, younger people, get into real estate and do it at a young age. Don't wait as long as I did.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one of your deals just to get a sense for what you have going on. You mentioned you just bought a place. Maybe we could start there. Tell me about the property.
Okay. So the house was listed initially for $49,000. It had a reduction in price that went down to $39,000. I ended up closing and buying the property for $23,000.
Wow. Well, so was there a secret to getting such a big discount, or was it just making a low offer?
Well, I tried to actually pay them full price with terms, and they were not interested in doing it. And I approached them twice about that. And try to make the deal, you know, very beneficial for them and I both with a terms offer and offering full price. And they just were reluctant to do that. And they said, just make us an offer on it. So I gave them a price range where I thought I could be at with it. And they called like 3 hours later and said, hey, you know, my husband said, let's do it. He accepts the offer.
Okay. So $23,000. And then did the property need a lot of work?
It's going to require about $15,000 to $18,000 worth of rehab, which is not major. I mean, it's flooring updates, vinyl plank flooring, painting, new kitchen countertops and cabinetry, and a bathroom. It's probably about 2 years. It's going to require a roof, but nothing really that bad. You know, okay. it was not kept up along the way is what the problem was.
All right. So you're all in for about $40,000 with the purchase and the rehab. And then what will that rent for?
I will list it for $800 a month.
$800. Okay. So that's the 2% rule. That's a great return. And do you generally get good tenants in your area, or do the tenants need a lot of handholding and management?
Well, here's the thing, Dan. I put a lot of effort into creating nice properties. So I'm very particular about the type of renter I will take. And even going in, when I list it, I don't take first-time renters. I don't take people that don't have any sort of former renting, you know, landlords that I could talk to see how they were a tenant for that person. They have to have, you know, the income, you know, to cover the rent, you know, which is three times the income for the rent is what I prefer to get. And I even get, you know, some renters. I have two of them that are in, you know, the government program, Section 8. I have no problem with them. I screen them the same way. Now, you do have to make some considerations. Some of them may not have the income that you're looking for, but on the back end, you're getting the check from the government subsidizing them. And I just want to make sure I get, you know, a good character analysis of the person that I put in these houses.
So you were mentioning that your properties are really profitable. And just from what we've picked out here over the last few minutes, it seems like you're making a really good return. I mean, you're buying a property for $40,000. You're renting it for $800. So you're at the 2% rule. Your properties are in really good condition. So like, would you say they're in like tip top shape?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything's new.
And then you're screening really well. So do you think that's the kind of the secret sauce in how you're so profitable?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, screening. I mean, I made a mistake once early in, you know, when I first started and I learned from that. And you really do have to screen, and you have to be strict about your screening. And it actually, honestly, you know, I told my wife, sometimes that's the hardest part of this job for me is when I have to tell somebody, look, you're not going to be a fit for this property. Yeah. And I feel bad about that. You know, I really do.
Yeah. How many applicants do you generally get when you have a turnover?
usually I would say probably about 30 to 40 applicants.
Wow. Okay.
I might get even more inquiries. I mean, I put them on the Facebook marketplace, and sometimes I'll get 12 or 1400 inquiries about it, you know, on there. Now, some of them drop off because they don't meet my base requirements, you know, of what I ask for.
Do you feel bombarded getting that many inquiries when you have a vacancy?
Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's like, and that's why I put all my guidelines up front. So, for instance, somebody could read it and say, hey, I'm not going to even call this guy because, you know, I have this issue and I have that issue that he's not going to listen. But you'd be, we'll call anyways and say, give me a chance.
So are you taking a lot of calls, or are people just replying on Facebook to you?
They reply on Facebook, and if they want to get, you know, if they seem viable, then I'll give them my phone number and have them contact me so we could talk. Or if they want to, you know, set up a viewing, you know, I let them, you know, take a look at the property.
Okay. So out of all those inquiries that you get, how many actual showings, like how many people are actually showing up for a showing?
Usually, I think the last rental I had, which was last year, I probably had 12 people through the house.
Okay. And do you get them all at one time, or are you doing 12 individual showings?
Well, what I did, and this was pre-corona, was I had a key box on the door, and I would have them stop at my office, and they would leave their driver's license and a deposit of cash of $20, and I would give them the key code to get into the property, and they could self-tour it. And then they bring back their, they stop back, pick up their driver's license and their cash deposit. We don't keep that. That's just to make sure they come back.
Yeah.
And that's worked out good for me because it's kind of hard to set up times. When I did initially do that, try to meet people, but you get stood up sometimes.
Yeah. It's a waste of time. You know, it's like, that's happened to me before where you go out there and, you know, you've taken time to drive there. You wait for a while. They don't show. And it's like you've just blown an afternoon. So that's really smart. And everybody has come back with your key. You've never lost a key.
That's never lost great. A key.
That's good. Now, the other thing you're doing that I think is interesting is when you actually find a tenant after you've gone through the screening, you don't sign them to a year lease. You only do month to month.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, through one of the seminars and some of the podcasts I've heard, it seems to be the best way that if by chance you get a problem tenant, you can get out of the rental agreement a little easier than if you are locked into a 1-year lease. Mm-hmm. And I explained that to them going in, you know, and they also have the opportunity, you know, if after a month they want to leave, you know, I hope they don't, but they can leave. And it just seems a little easier to do that.
And, you know, it's funny because like that strategy has come up several times on the show in the last year. And it seems like people sign the month to month, but they don't end up leaving after 3 months. Like, do you find you get a lot of long-term tenants?
I do. I do have tenants that have been with me as long as I've been in, you know, which is not a long time, but 5 years.
Yeah, right.
But I try to make, you know, the house a home for them. You know, yes, I'm the landlord. But I tell them and I try to get the point across, this is your home. I mean, I don't have a problem with pets. You know, we collect a pet rent and a deposit. And, you know, as long as they clear it with me, they have, you know, paperwork for the animal, you know, if it, you know, it's insurance, you know, I get my renters to get a renter's insurance policy.
Good.
So that protects me a little bit also on that side.
Yeah.
But I found that letting them have a pet makes them more apt to stay because then they can actually put roots down and think that, you know, this is my home.
Yeah. I like that. And also a lot of landlords won't take pets. So they have a hard time.
A lot of them don't.
Yeah. So they might have a hard time moving.
Yeah.
That's really, really interesting. I really need to try that because I've always stayed away from a short-term lease because I want to lock someone in, but it seems like by not locking them in, they're more willing to stay.
Well, here's the thing too, and I use service agreements in my other businesses. And if I lock you into a service agreement, say for what I do in my vending business for 5 years, and at some point in time you break that service agreement, yes, you violated the service agreement, but what's the odds that I'm going to collect any money? And the same thing with this. If I put somebody in a rental property and it's a year, 2-3 year lease, whatever, and they break it early, what's the chances I'm going to collect any money?
Right. You're not. Right. So when you are initially talking to the tenants, are you kind of feeling out if they're going to be someone that's going to stick around for a long time?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the questions I ask. You know, I have a list of questions that I've made from, you know, my experiences. And that's one of the questions at the top is I say, you know, how long do you plan to be here? And, you know, the answer I want to hear is life. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they say, well, a couple years or 3 years till we, you know, financially are able to maybe buy a house. And that's good. You know, at least they plan on being here 2 or 3 years. And a lot of times that's going to go on because just like people buying rental property, people in rental property, you know, that think, you know, after 3 or 5 years, I might buy a house. You know, that kind of goes by the wayside too. You know, that people get comfortable in their surroundings.
Yeah. And then keeping someone long-term is so much cheaper because if you're going vacant every year, you know, if a tenant's leaving every year and you're having to go in there and clean that property up and spend your time trying to find a new tenant and have some vacancy, that really is going to eat into your profitability for the year.
The turnover. Yeah. Because you have to rehab the property. You might have to touch up some painting or some, you know, flooring or whatever it may be. And that eats into your bottom line.
Yeah. So say in an average year in an average property, just kind of on average, how much do you think you're spending on repairs?
Honestly, I would say on average, it's going to be under $1,000 because so far, you know, being only in it 5 years, my properties are pretty much brand new because I've put all the major elements into it with the roof, the HVAC system, as much new plumbing, some of it all new plumbing, some of it all new electrical. Mm-hmm. So I could probably go 7, 8, 10 years before, you know, I have any issues. Now I have had, you know, a screen door come undone. I've had, you know, a window, a bad faucet, you know, go bad, but definitely under $1,000.
Now, when you're pricing your properties, you know, since they're in such good condition, do you try to list them as high as you possibly can to get the premium rent, or do you go in a little bit low thinking, well, I'm going to get more applicants this way and maybe it'll rent faster?
Well, I would probably say I'm at the higher end. I kind of look at the market and see what other properties are bringing. And, you know, I look at the properties that are out there in that price range, and I'm probably a little higher than what they are because I know what I put into mine. And there's not a lot of landlords in this area that I don't think, you know, rehab their properties to that scale.
Mm-hmm. And as far as management, how much time, so you mentioned you own a business, how much time does your rentals take? How much time are you putting into management on a monthly basis?
It kind of goes by itself. I mean, I field any calls or anything. If I have anything that needs fixed, I have a maintenance guy that will go out and fix it right away, and I jump right on it. You know, it's as soon as you call, it's either that day or the next day, we're there to correct whatever issue comes up. I put in, and that's mainly just making sure everything's, you know, being, you know, rents are coming in. I have my customers pay their rent through a app, and they, you know, they pay their rent there. I check my banks, you know, make sure all the rents have been deposited.
It sounds like most of the work is up front in finding the deals, getting the properties rehabbed and in tip-top shape. But once you have a property up and running, there's really not too much to do. You're placing the ads when you have a vacancy, and then the tenants are coming over to your office to pick up the key, and they're doing the self-showings. The tenants are paying you rent online. And when a tenant calls with a repair problem, you're just calling a repair person. So I think you've got a really good system Thank you so much for coming on the show, Chris. I really appreciate it. If Chris inspired you and you want to buy your first rental property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is our sponsor today. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chaley is a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something that'll work for you in your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. I'd also like to thank TenantCloud for sponsoring today's episode. If you're looking for online leases, online applications, you want to set up online rent collection, you can do it all at TenantCloud. You can get started for free today. Just go to TenantCloud.com. That's TenantCloud, C-L-O-U-D, TenantCloud.com. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.